Good morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. My name is Bill Sturgeon. Going to be with you for about 58 minutes. Today, I am honored and privileged, and I mean that very sincerely, to have with me today, although I tried to caution him, the superintendent of schools. There's a lot better jobs. There's the night manager at Wendy's. There's all kinds of things. But no, he stayed with, he went in as the superintendent of schools. Yeah, and I mean this, a friend of mine, Joe Curtis. Good morning, Superintendent Curtis.
Good morning. Good morning, Bill. How are you this morning?
Well, you know, one challenge at a time. But I do want to give you a couple of, if I may, a couple of announcements. The Polish Falcon Club will be having on Monday, February 20th, 5 to 7 p.m., a sit-down or take-out Polish dinner. Because of the cost of food, they'd like you to reserve in advance so that they have the exact number. Also, coming up for Valentine's Day down at Shakespeare and Company, Romeo and Juliet, that will be performed February 11th at 7 p.m. This is a special presentation, and it's a timeless love story, but you must call down and you must reserve your tickets. NAMI of Berkshire County, Cupcake Wars are back. And boy, just what I need, cupcakes.
I just saw that announcement. That looks pretty pretty enticing to attend.
Oh, yeah. No, it's a great time. That will be February the 21st, 5:30 to 8:30, Proprietor's Lodge, Sarah's Cheesecake, the Shire Cottage Bakery, Bacon Bakery, Frosting Mary, and Tiffany's Cafe. So I'll probably have to eat all of them. I want to give everybody a fair chance. This is, we got a wonderful thing going on this morning. I replayed my initial interview with the kids from Protus Theater Group. They are performing She Kills Monsters. Yeah. And there's some performances left. And that's February 10th and 11th at 7:30 in the evening, and February 12th at 2:30 in the afternoon at Sunday. Do what you can to support these kids. They do a great job. And their teacher, she's a lovely person. I met her for the first time, Miss Blockner. So yes. Blocker, like line blocker. Okay. So here we go. Now, without further ado, foie gras, soup du jour, we're going to have today my friend, Joe Curtis, the superintendent of Pittsfield Schools. So tell me, what's happening?
Well, there's a lot positive happening. As you know, I'm sure, because you're certainly a supporter of our school system, always have, always will be. I'm very pleased that the school committee endorsed our direction in moving Taconic High School to be a full technical high school.
Yeah, that is so cool.
Just such a win, you know, and so many people have approached me since the vote and since our announcement, be it community members, elected officials, and, you know, saying to me, well, it always should have been that way. And, you know, I wasn't around for the start and the planning of Taconic High School, but I'm glad and just thrilled that this decision has been made, you know, because it really comes down to, Bill, for those who debate and maybe still question the decision, you know, do we want to give every student in the city of Pittsfield an opportunity to participate in vocational education?
Yeah.
And the vote affirmed the answer is yes, because without the vote, we would have had to deny some students just because of enrollment numbers. And we felt very strongly in not doing that, that this, you know, Taconic High School provides truly, I mean, so many people say it, but truly state of the art educational facilities for our students. And we feel strongly that every student should have access to them.
And, you know, let's just take a couple of minutes and Dr. Benjamin and Miss Tammy Gage, I don't have enough good things to say about them. I really don't. And about you and your whole team, But, you know, Tammy Gage, I can remember, and you'll get a kick out of this, one of the older gentlemen that worked in the General Electric one time in a coffee shop. And honestly, it was a coffee shop. They only served coffee and not adult. and he said to me, can you believe they got a woman in charge of vocational? I said, dude, it's the 21st century.
Absolutely.
And I can't say enough good things about Tammy Gage and all she's done for the vocational students, the projects, everything. And you and Doc, going back to Dr. McCandless, you have elevated vocational to the level in the social strata that it should be.
Well, you know, none of us were satisfied with, you know, status quo, you know. And that even demonstrating with our expansion of programs, you know, of Chapter 74 programs available to our students. You know, I believe the building opened with 8 programs. We're now at 12 and always looking at new possibilities for our students, you know. And I think that's what certainly our mentality and our thoughts are, is that we want to keep the vocational offerings rich, rigorous, and always looking at new possibilities, as keeping the status quo is not something that would serve the children of Pittsfield well.
Yeah.
And so we've had that. We've been pushing the envelope. We've been ensuring that all of the barriers that existed before with students enrolling in vocational programming have been removed. You know, there was a big article in the Boston Globe recently about disproportionality of students of color being able to enter vocational programming. Right. And as you know, we eliminated all of those barriers.
I know.
And we enrolled every student that applied for vocational programming into the school last year, which is this current school year. So we're ahead of the curve, as we usually are. Sorry to brag on behalf of our school system, but you know, everyone that wants to be in our vocational programming is now in it and will be in the future.
How cool. And you know, going back to Bob bragging on the school system, you know, I'm pretty defensive of the Pittsfield school system and school department and the people in it. You know, I share a house with a lady that had over 42 years in the system, you know, teaching. And but not only that, we look at the doctors and the chiefs of police and this and all the nurses and teachers and, oh, by the way, an astronaut.
Yes. You know,
so when certain parties want to pick on the Pittsfield school system, because as you well know, we are, I like to refer to the Pittsfield school system as an urban rural school system.
Yeah. No, it's very true. You know, we, even when we were talking about the recent cold weather day, you know, and people were questioning that, you know, I was trying to explain that we have more walkers in the Pittsfield Public Schools than our surrounding school districts have students. And so, you know, what I'm grateful is we are very unique in Berkshire County. We're certainly much more comparable, you know, to Westfield, Springfield, Worcester, and such. That uniqueness brings its challenges, there's no question. But it also brings incredible opportunities that other school districts that surround us cannot offer.
That's right.
Both in education and in being able to work and function with people that are very diverse. And that's a skill that everyone needs in the workforce, everyone.
You know, well, I'm glad you brought that out, because I been defending that, because I watched the kids walk by to Herberg. I think people need to hear what you just said. Yes, they call the cold days cancel school because so many of the kiddos walk to school. And you know, especially in this neighborhood and where I live in the Southeast, a lot of kids walk to Egremont, they walk to Whittier, they walk to Herberg. There's sometimes logic over stupidity is kind of challenging at times, as you well know. But I thought it was a brilliant call. I really did. And for those that have things to say, why don't you try to walk a mile to school and back?
Well, and Bill, in the afternoon, you know, the real concern was the afternoon dismissal. You know, if the attempts were predicted to hold as they were during the morning, we most likely would have had school. But the afternoon dismissal, you know, with negative 25 to 30 below with the wind chill factor. And then, you know, myself leaving Mercer around 4:30, 5 o'clock, whatever time it was last Friday. And the wind blowing, the trees coming down, you know, at the end of the day, you know, certainly I was hoping that some of my superintendent colleagues would join me in the decision. None did, which sometimes makes a decision tough. But at the end of the day, when I was envisioning those kids walking home in that weather and how unsafe that would be for them, the decision became easy.
We have to remember, too, a lot of those other districts, should we say, more are bus than walk.
Well, and that's what some of the superintendents were saying in our conversation that morning is, you know, there are some school districts where all of the students are bused. All of them. And so, you know, we're again, it what it demonstrated again is that Pittsfield is very unique in Berkshire County. With its own set of challenges and, I would dare say, successes. And, you know, we have to do all that we need to do to support our children and our schools because they also face unique circumstances that other children in Berkshire County don't.
I have to tell you, well, this is a beautiful studio out here on Federico Drive. It's really wonderful, and the station has grown and prospered, and we have bilingual programs and all kinds of wonderful things going on. I miss Taconic. I miss the interaction with the kiddos. I'm so pleased, Joe, that you have this new program. I always thought there was an educational purpose for the radio station. And now you're bringing back this whole arts, broadcasting arts. And we're 3 hours from New York by train. And all you have to do is go on and look at the jobs in broadcasting just in New York and Springfield and everywhere else.
You know, we, Dr. Bishop had started a series of classes in television and media, really as electives. My youngest son happens to be in one of Mr. Choquette's classes. He actually, him and the two co-hosts received a PCTV award at the annual award ceremony, which was phenomenal. But the interest, the passion and the heart, not only the teacher are showing right now in the elective classes is certainly impressive. And, you know, when we're really seeing that day to day at Taconic, you know, Miss Gage and I had discussions along with Dr. Bishop. And it's like, we need to start a Chapter 74 program here, which coincidentally was the original intention when the building was built. But Dr. McCandless said, put it on hold. So we're really thrilled that that's going to be a thriving program starting next school year officially.
I've been honored, and I mean that, to be asked to be on the advisory committee with Ms. Gates, because way back when I was trying to fight to save TBR, I wrote a draft curriculum And it was all the things you learn in education, how to interview, open-ended questions, how to research, do your research before you. Every person I interview, I do research first. Even if I know them, because like with you, you're always something new, you know, and there was so much, but at that time, I think the die was pretty well cast with the state and everybody that, radio wasn't, and I couldn't disagree more. And I know I repeat myself, but when you get to be my age, you can repeat yourself too. But I can't be more pleased. Because there's such an opportunity for that.
Well, you see, just right now they produce a television show every other week.
Yeah.
To Connick TV.
Yeah.
And you see, just as you were just saying, there is an endless amount of skill.
Yes.
Academic and life that is needed in production, right? And we all could learn a little lesson from production, really, really researching before we say what we want to say, slowing down our thinking, not reacting. All of those things social media doesn't do, I would dare say.
Fact checking.
Yeah.
Check the facts before you shoot, you know, run off at the mouth and, you know, you're embarrassed.
You know, so, you know, again, the actual Chapter 74 program will be so much more. But right now, the results and the student feedback from the elective that exists now is, you know, just phenomenal to see the spirit of those kids putting that production together, you know, for the school, build school spirit. Yep. You know, the positives are just endless to list.
I agree 100%. And for whatever it's worth, I'm here for anybody who needs anything. I am so excited to about it happening.
Well, maybe at some point you can do some guest hosting from their studio.
I would do that. I would be more than happy to do that.
I sat behind the anchor desk.
Oh, cool.
During open house. So I got the, you know, official tour. I got to sit behind the anchor desk, try out the green screen. I don't know if you've ever worked with one of those.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
That's confusing to work with. I found that confusing with the weather map and such.
Many years ago, the first time I ever used a green screen, I was doing the Department of Justice was doing they finally realized they don't have to send everybody all over the world to train on a new concept. We would go out to the University of Southern California and use their studio and the green screen. You're right. I mean, it's like, dude, you know, this will take some, this is going to take some practice for the old fat boy.
It does.
I finally mastered it and then I retired. So there you go. But, you know, I do want to say to Mr. Dr. Benjamin, I interviewed him and Miss Gage about what's going on in vocational. And, you know, let's ring our own bell, toot our own horn. You guys are doing a great job actually feeding the system here for skilled labor. My heat went out. I called. I had a good thing. My friend, who I worked with for years, he used to be a cop. Then he said, "There's no future in this." He became a plumber. But again, we need those skills.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, the pandemic, you know, really made people understand and respect, which is critically important, tradesmen. I think that realization of being able to call a tradesperson and get assistance when needed, and really we all had a tremendous amount of difficulty in doing that and still do, it brought that respect finally to our trades people in the field, that we need to support them, we need to respect them, and we need to bring more assistance to them. You know, my son graduated the auto tech program for Taconic High School.
Wonderful.
He is actually now at Hudson Valley Community College.
Cool.
Pursuing, you know, his 2-year degree.
Yeah.
And, you know, he just said to me last night, you know, around the supper table, he said, "Dad, I learned the things we're doing in our college classes when I was a sophomore or a junior."
Yeah.
He said, we learned so much at Taconic. He's a quiet guy too. So when he says something, you take notice.
Yeah.
And even he is so grateful for all that he learned, not only at Taconic, but in his co-op work experience, which he had with Haddad's.
Yeah.
And so, you know, he recognizes the value of his education at Taconic, which, you know, is all that you want, you know, that I would like our students to realize, you know, what the value of education truly is.
Education, I think, for a long time, post-World War II, I think for a long time, people equated the word education with college.
Yeah.
And now in the new world, in the new technology world, I know people with 2-year degrees that are making 6 figures in the tech world.
Yeah.
So it's a different society, Joe. As you know, I mean, you're preaching news like preaching in a choir. You're in the battlefield every day. But it's so wonderful to see these kiddos. I think back, I've told this story 100 times and I'll tell it one more. I interviewed and Tammy Gage knows the kiddo. I don't remember where I parked the car anymore. So, but this young lady, I was so proud of her. She was a little, you know, I worked in a shop and all the guys that worked in fabrication, you know, like, you know, big dude. And she was this little petite African-American young lady. And she said, "Well, I'm in metal fab." And I went, "Really? Really?" She said, "Yeah, I love it." And I said, "Well, what possessed you to go into that?" She said, "Well, I want to be a nurse practitioner." And I'm, you know, what you're dealing with when you deal with me. And I said, "And you're in metal fab." She said, "Yeah, that's how I'm going to pay for it."
Wow.
That's how I'm going to pay for it. And I thought, you know what?
Impressive.
You are mature beyond your years, young lady. And my understanding is she's following that path. And she got some special certifications for welding after Taconic and boosted her salary way up. But she's following her career, her dream. Isn't that wonderful?
That's incredible to see that there is a path, you know, to be financially stable, to put yourself through education and training for your next step in your in your career journey. That is very impressive. But, you know, I think that, not I think, I know that these opportunities will open so many doors for the children of Pittsfield. And, you know, the recent vote of the school committee, you know, just recently, and then last year, removing all enrollment barriers, really opened the doors wide, right? And that's, you know, what the city of Pittsfield has done for their children. And, you know, very impressed by the support of the community.
And I think we just need to step back for a minute, too, and say, you know, coming back to in-person education after COVID and all the, as me Irish, saintly Irish mother would say, all the malarkey that came with that, hats off to the teachers, hats off to the administrators, hats off to the staff. And I always have a special place in my heart, Joe, for the lunch ladies. They took wonderful care of me in the Pittsfield school system.
And you know, they did heroes work during the pandemic, and they do every day. But, you know, and ensuring that our students, you know, had access to food. They do that every day. They do incredible work. Very appreciative of them.
They, you know, the again, going back to a regime, a routine, a discipline of being in a school after this whole wackiness with COVID, I applaud the teachers.
Yeah.
I mean, some of the, you know, sometimes, as one said to me, sometimes there were days, Bill, it was like starting all over again.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, because you're right in the fray, and they did it, and the kids are doing it, and they're back. And I just hope and pray we never have to go through that again.
Yeah, I really, you know, obviously leading the school district through it as a superintendent and then as a dad at the same time.
Yeah.
I really can't imagine if we have to go through something like that again, you know, because the declarations that the pandemic is over have been certainly made by many.
Yeah.
The social and emotional impact for some of our students, not just some, I would say many, is really dramatic. And, you know, I see it when I'm in the schools. I was just in a school yesterday. And not just the impact on students, but their families.
Yeah.
And being able to cope with stressful situations has become very difficult for many of our students, and again, their families as well.
And, you know, we're in another person, I think, is worth my weight in gold, and that's a lot of gold, is Anne-Marie Carpenter. I mean, God love her and her team and her efforts. When we look at the whole system, it's loaded with gifted, talented, dedicated people. It really is. And, you know, we talk, the Polish princess and I, we talk about it all the time. The people who have dedicated their lives.
Yes.
You know.
And it truly, I appreciate your words, because it is really dedicating your life.
It is.
You know, there's always an assumption in education that, you know, it ends at 3:30 and summers are off and, you know, but a true educator, despite maybe the hours present at school, the physical building, it never leaves them. It doesn't leave them at night. It doesn't leave them on the weekends. You know, I did retail for years when I held two jobs as a teacher and a retail employee. And, you know, when you went to work a retail shift, you didn't think about it a minute before you started.
No.
And then as soon as you got out, you didn't think about it, right? Until the next time you went back. And education, because you're dealing with humans, is so much different. It is something that you carry with you everywhere you go, on vacations and on weekends and during the summer. As you well know, and I'm sure your wife has told you, it can be incredibly challenging.
Oh, yeah.
And very, you know, very rewarding, all in the same day.
Yeah. Yeah.
All in the same hour sometimes.
Well, even after she's been retired now over 10 years and bumps into kids that she had in first and second grade, and they tell her what a wonderful teacher. I mean, that to her is like being renewed all over again.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
And you probably see it too. It's not a job. I used to hear all that stuff too. Well, your wife's a teacher, you know, she gets the summers off. Yeah, not really, but I have to say this too. And when my wife retired, I literally got a raise because we stopped buying things at the store for the kid.
Yeah.
You know,
that's very true. You know, it's like, when I was in the classroom, and even as a principal, I was always going out and buying stuff, extra supplies. And, you know, we had so many great community partners too that would, you know, give us backpacks and coats and scarves. And, you know, you do whatever you need to do as an educator. I mean, you shouldn't, you shouldn't be expected, but you know, we kind of are. And yeah, we do try to provide our teachers in the Pittsfield Public Schools with whatever they need. But, you know, there's many that want to go that extra mile.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, much as I did when I was in the classroom. And, you know, that's the difference when you become an educator.
Right.
It's something that's in your heart. It's in your mind. It's in your gut, if you will. And you live it 24/7.
It's a vocation.
Yeah.
It's not just an employment, not just an occupation. It is a vocation. I saw it here. Working with kids that needed a little extra help. And you know, the other piece too, that with good teachers, I think back, I have to tell you this story. I just told you, along with Dr. Francescus, me and I just published my third book. I owe it to a guy from North Junior High.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I wrote a paper and he said, "Did you write this?" I said, "Well, yeah, it's got my name on it." You know, and he said, "You should think about being an author." And then the other piece is I had an English teacher who said, "You don't need a comma there." I said, "But I kind of thought I," and then she said, "No, you don't." So I said, "Well, can I leave it?" She said, "Listen, when you're a published author, you can put a comma anywhere you want." So there were the two inspirations to me being to writing. I love writing. And I got that in the Pittsfield school system. You know, one was a compliment and one was kind of take the damn comma out, you know. But folks, you got to take a little bit of a break. I am honored and privileged, and I mean that sincerely, to have with me today the superintendent of schools, Joseph Curtis of the Pittsfield school system. We're talking about all things Pittsfield schools. Just to kind of reinforce a decision that the superintendent made, not that he needs my reinforcement, but I'll give it to him anyhow. They call us.
I'll take it.
Okay. A cold day. I think we went over it. We may go over it again because it is a morning show. People are in and out. But here's the thing. It was so cold that he thought of the kids. Because, and I know this Wakona and all these, but think about it. Our Pittsfield kiddos, many of them walk to school. Yeah. So let's take a break. We'll be right back. This is 89.7 WTBR FM on your radio dial. We are simulcasting on PCTV channel 1301. My guest today, Superintendent of Schools, Joseph Curtis.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive with Bill Sturgeon here on WTBR FM.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org. And from BeFair. BeFair is one of the largest premier human service agencies in Berkshire County. If you're looking for services for a loved one, or are interested in caring for the people we support, visit BeFair.org today for available opportunities.
The Berkshire's only rock station, 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield, Massachusetts. And now back to the Morning Drive with Bill Sturgeon on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, we're back. This guy you see right there, his name is Joseph Curtis. He is the superintendent of the Pittsfield school system. We are talking about everything Pittsfield school systems and within the system. One of the things that I am so psyched about is how well our vocational, the school committee has approved Taconic will be vocational.
Yeah.
That to me is the one of the best things that's happened to the city of Pittsfield in many, many years. Yeah. And we have to thank all the people involved with it, but there's Dr. Benjamin and Ms. Gage and Joe Curtis and Jake McCandless and all these people and the school committee people. I just was You know, Dan Elias, he needs more experience on that school. Really. I think the world would be it.
He has a lot of experience, though, as you know.
But 24, decades. 25 years, something like that.
Yeah.
He's a – but really and truly, the other part we talked about in the first half was the kids coming back to school after COVID. It wasn't easy for the kids. It wasn't easy for the teachers, the administrators, the adjustment counselors. And I just can't say enough good things about what y'all did to bring back some normalcy. And you're still working on it. I'm still working on normalcy.
No, it's certainly an ongoing effort. You know, and after the – we spent well over a year talking about this possible decision, you know, through mentions at school committee, discussions on radio and TV, you know, discussions at the school itself. And then really, you know, about – I'm going to say – 7-8 months ago, really started bringing those full presentations, community meeting offerings to everyone within the community. You know, so we're really deliberate in slowing down the decision, giving lots of opportunity for any member of the public to provide us feedback. You know, again, through participation at the school committee, emails to elected officials or myself. We had some community meetings that in person and via Zoom to really talk about this decision, you know, and then finally it was made.
Yeah.
And the next day, Bill, we opened up the application website for students, eighth grade students to apply to be in CTE programming. The next day we had over 100 applications in one day. I think within 2 days, we are over 140 or 150. Now, if you think about that, you know, rarely when we put surveys out or applications, really for anything, do you get that kind of response that quickly?
Absolutely.
You know, so we're very hopeful that we'll have more than enough applications and that we'll be able to accommodate everyone's wishes to enter technical education at Taconic for next school year.
You know, that to me is so heartwarming to hear that, because as you know, we talked about this in the first half. There was a period after World War II. This is my take on it. But there was a period after World War II that they equated the word education and college as one. The vocational in shops and things like that didn't have the social status. But now, due to the efforts of a lot of people that are still at the Pittsfield school system, Dr. McCandless, who they wear red blazers for the excuse me, Joe. For the demonstrations, they compete, they do all these things.
But the Skills USA, yes.
Skills USA, thank you. But here's the thing. They're going to walk out of Taconic High School when they're going to graduate. I don't care if it's electrician or mechanic or whatever. And they're going to walk into a career field that they're going to start making money and decent, really good money, some of them. But as I've proven today, I followed the right path, because we have no heat in the house. The plumber's been here. He's got it. Hopefully going to get it going soon. But he told me as he left, and he's a good friend of mine, don't touch anything.
don't try to fiddle with the furnace, you know, and maybe – you know, do a few adjustments on your own to get it working.
I don't even touch the thermostat. So, Joe, the challenges of today are much different than when I was in school.
That's a great conversation and statement to be had, because, you know, often, particularly when it comes to budget time, there is, you know, statements comparing when an elected official or two used to go to school, and how come it's not like that anymore, or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
And the circumstances of education and the demands of the school and school system that not only our community places on the schools, but our government have changed dramatically. You know, my office is in an old school building.
Yeah.
And what I often point out to people, because they'll talk, we're going to begin to go through a large restructuring study.
Yeah.
And people often say, why can't we close a number of schools? Because our student population has declined. What's different from school, let's say 40 or 50 years ago, as to school now, is that our students are provided with a number of services and supports that just didn't exist when this school, this now office building, was used as a school. And I'll often say, when you walk around the Mercer Administration Building, there's one office in this building, truly original.
Yeah.
And it was for the principal.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
There were no speech therapists. There were no occupational therapists. There were no school counselors. There wasn't even lunch served when this was a school, for many years. So, what school is now is very different from what school was in the past. And, we have made every attempt to evolve to ensure that students not only get what they need academically, but all, emotionally and nutritionally, all of those things, we're charged with assisting and taking care of, and we must.
Yeah. And let me say this, because then I can get the hate mail. I think that what Boston and the legislature and all these people, they need to sit down and do an accounting of why all this paperwork. First of all, why is it needed? What is done with it, and what can be gained from it, other than frustration and extra cost and all? That's the other piece of it. Well, when I went to school, there was a superintendent, and that was it. Well, yeah, but there wasn't the reporting requirements. To me, and I'm a layman, and you can certainly disagree with me, and I have greatest respect, there's a lot of nonsensical paperwork that just is bureaucratically driven.
Well,
that might be.
We could very easily have a series of shows, not just one, on all of the reporting requirements that our school system has to fulfill each day, each month, and each year. I mean, it is abundant, prevalent, and always being added to. Right. So one might think that, myself or the deputy superintendent or the people that we have working throughout the building don't have this reporting burden. And I will call it a burden.
It is a burden.
But we do. And like I was just saying, not to repeat myself, it is abundant, ongoing, and always being added to.
And what purpose does it serve? That's what I talk to legislators. Fine, you want to have what? How is it helping the student? How is it helping the student? To me, and I used to, in my old life, we had all these reports and we'd get, and they said nothing. They said stuff we already knew. I just think at some point in time, somebody in the legislature, the governor's always going to say, stop. I want a thorough audit of everything that's required from every school district. And I want to know what advantage does it bring to the student?
That would be certainly a brave thing to do. I think they, you know, would need a room to store the report in, to be, you know, not to be sarcastic, but, you know, and again, that's always the question. You know, we go through that ourselves, even when it comes to assessments that we do locally, you know, surveys that we give our students, our families and our staff. You know, we want to ensure that we actually always do something with the information, the data that's produced. And if the answer is, you know what, we don't, or we don't do it well, then we get rid of it. Because we don't want to put additional burden, you know, on our students, on our parents, or on our teachers. And that's a question we ask ourselves constantly, you know, about what we require as a school system. But it would be refreshing to see that being done at the state level.
Joe, I think it's got to come at some point. It really does. I mean, right now, the cost of education to the taxpayers. But not only that, when you read some of the stats, we have all these reports, but some of the things are going down, not up. So what are we doing with the reports? And, you know, I don't want to beat this topic to death, but I just get frustrated with government sometimes because, you know, I used to be with government and we'd get these nonsensical demands. That's just got to be in every 30 days. We got to do this. Well, we're talking about the weather, you know. So, but anyhow, I really applaud what the system is doing. And as I vocational to Connect, that's going to be great. My love is always PHS. I went there. I love PHS. I love the dome. Someday before I get too old and can't do the stairs, I'm going to solicit you to get me one last walkthrough.
Walkthrough. You know, I'm really glad you brought up Pittsfield High School because, you know, Miss Gage is now working with Principal Harrington Esco and, you know, to really develop career pathways at Pittsfield High School, right? Perfect. So they won't be Chapter 74 programs, but we want to capitalize on the rich course catalog that Pittsfield High has and build upon that and really develop some course and career pathways for our students that attend Pittsfield High School. So they also have opportunities for internships and being out in the workforce before they graduate high school. So, you know, you've certainly applauded, as I do, Miss Gage's work at Taconic. And now she's been gracious enough to start expanding her work over to Pittsfield High School to do something similar. Again, not Chapter 74, but nevertheless, providing those students who go to Pittsfield High with the same opportunities for a career pathway in internships out in the community.
You know, I have to tell you, while I was college prep, I don't know why, I knew me and my ability to stay focused at that time. And I was going to take like English, U.S. history, and then like 4 study halls. Well, I believe me, that wasn't going to, no. Even my parents said, no, that you're going to take something else because they don't have it. I spoke with Miss Gage about it. It was called distributive education. And we went to school a half a day, and then I went to work at England Brothers, which was a big department store here at the time. Right. And I worked in the men's department, which was at that time the biggest moneymaker in the store. Or one of the biggest, I guess. But anyhow, long story short, that was a career path into retail.
Yeah.
Yep. 6 months after I graduated from PHS, I got promoted to assistant buyer, the youngest in the store's history.
Wow.
But I attribute all that to a lady by the name of Miss Nugent. She was the teacher of that course. And her father was Mr. Nugent, who was the principal at North. or Reed now. But But you're right. There are career paths, you know, that can be derived from PHS. Where I was going with my story.
And we want, you know, for those who choose not to enroll in vocational program, we want them to feel that, you know, they have similar opportunities at Pittsfield High School, you know, which is certainly in the hearts and minds of so many residents of Pittsfield. They've either went there, they have fond memories of Pittsfield High, they want their child to go there. And so, you know, we're very excited for that development of those career pathways.
I think that's PHS. Great.
I've got to plug PHS because they're having an open house tomorrow night.
Oh, wow.
I'm not sure when this is airing, but they're having one tomorrow night, February 8th.
Okay, February 8th. I think I had this scheduled for Monday, Joe.
Oh, so we
that's all right. Missed it.
But I'm sure when it's aired, they'll be celebrating the great open house that Pittsfield High had on the 8th.
My thing is that PHS will always be, you know, I heard the people say, well, we got to tear it down. And, you know, first of all, before you try to tear PHS down, you better get a construction company who knows what they're doing, because that building was never meant to be torn down.
Right. No. But, you know, and there, I'm glad you brought that up as well, because so many, you know, there was so much chatter when Taconic was being built to maybe condense down to one high school. And I really feel this is Joe's opinion. This isn't the community's opinion, that having only one high school would be detrimental to our school system. You know, we have to keep in mind that we're surrounded by school districts with very, very small middle and high schools as far as enrollment. And having a large high school with, you know, well over, you know, 1,400 or 1,500 students simply wouldn't be attractive to many families. And they might make choices to go to other surrounding school districts. Yeah. So I think building these two unique opportunities for our students is certainly the right direction, in my opinion. You know, and also it would take, you know, there were some light sketches of architectural plans to expand Taconic to hold possibly all high school students. When you really dive into those, they really are not viable at all, in my opinion.
Well, you also too, I think you have Taconic is well established as its second high school, now a vocational school. Pittsfield High is well established as a high school. Was both when I was a kid. Some of the shops were in Quonset huts, you know, from World War II. So all I'm saying is I think that's the right approach. And I think as we go forward, more and more people are going to get on that bandwagon and see the logic, you know, a word very seldom used today in a philosophy not followed that in most places, logic. But we'll see that. You know, before we run out of time, so there's rumbles and bumbles and all kinds of things about reorganization and closing schools. And what's your gut?
Well, I mean, you know, we are signing a contract with a firm that's going to do a complete restructuring study. DRA, we're working with DRA that actually we partnered with in the building of Taconic.
Okay.
But before we think about a possible new building's plan, we really want to look at, you know, the number of students we have, where they live, look at our attendance school districts, you know, where they live designates currently, where they go to school.
Yeah.
Is that the model we should continue with? Should we continue with pre-K to 5, 6 to 8, and 9 through 12? You know, and we have to really research that, explore those questions. before we can decide on a new building plan. You know, as you know, Morningside, Conte are open space schools.
Yeah.
It's best at this point to take those schools out of service, in my opinion, as educational facilities.
Okay.
But they're also the heart of those neighborhoods.
Community.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Their community. So we can't, we've got to ensure that both the Morningside and the Westside neighborhoods still have what I consider community centers.
Yes.
There can't be that void. So we have to look at that. It's not as easy as just closing the school and bulldozing it, you know, and we'd really like to ensure that both of those buildings still continue for community and city use. As you know, Crosby was never intended to be an elementary school. In fact, if you look at some old newspaper articles, when Crosby was built, it was built to address the baby boom age.
Yeah.
And only was to be in service for roughly 20 years.
Yeah.
And that was what, 50 years ago.
And it was Pittsfield High when Pittsfield High was being refurbished, remodeled. I went, I think it was 10th grade. I went to Crosby.
Yeah.
10th grade. High school.
Yeah.
Mr. Murphy was the principal. I got to know him very well.
So, you know, it's time to look at this through an objective lens. Yes. With a facilitator and a contractor that will, you know, go out into the community, engage people to solicit their opinions.
Yeah.
You know, and then finally come up with a plan that'll lead us well into the future. You know, so that I want to rest assured to all community members that there will be many, many opportunities for them to give their opinions, solicit more information from us and from the firm. But we'll begin that work. We're beginning that work fairly soon. Cool. It's going to go all throughout this school year. For the rest of this calendar year.
Cool.
And so then we can finally, hopefully, propose a new building plan that will take the current Morningside and Conte community schools out of service for educational use, but still ensure that they have a facility that their community can certainly be at and support.
Well, you know, the Polish princess here, she taught at Westside, Conte,
yes,
when it was Westside. And Joe, you were the principal, and I want people to know Joe knows from where he's coming from.
Yeah.
He was the principal at Morningside, and my wife taught at Conte, and I will tell you, they have become exactly what they were designed to be: community centers.
That's
now,
right.
The educational layout, that's changed, but that happens every 10 years anyhow, I think.
Yeah.
the latest. But I guess what I wish you the best, Joe, because we're very parochial in Pittsfield. And if you don't believe me, ask the city council about garbage pickup.
Yeah.
They've only been working on it 8 or 9 years. But let me offer this because we're kind of running out of time. Oh, we are running. Let me offer this. If you want, we'll do a show with your consultants, and we'll do the public.
Yeah.
Public. Oh, good. The offer's there, just to have Roll get a hold of me and we'll set it up.
No, I think, you know, as much as we're, you know, like we did the vocational.
Yeah. Yeah.
We want to get the word out there as much as possible to engage all members of our community.
I can't thank you enough for taking the time. Thank Rose for setting this up. I'm always here for you in the school department.
We appreciate
I'll
that.
I'll make time to get you on.
Yeah, we appreciate that always, your partnership.
And just remember what I told you about parochial thinking. I walk to school. My kids can walk to school. Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah, look at the schools. I know a lot of kids who went to Mercer, where you're at now. Someday you'll graduate and go to PHS. I just thank you so much, and to Joe and to all the people involved with the education of our kiddos, and to my listeners and viewers, God bless. And today, let's do something for somebody else and not be so critical of everybody else. Take care, brother.
Thank you.
You bet. Say hi to Roll for me.